This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. A lot of things going on this week, of course, the World Series. The second game begins tonight. Detroit, behind Justin Verlander, had a very disappointing opening game loss, but there's still six games to go, or at least the best of four, however it goes here coming up. Doug Fister goes on the mound tonight, and we'll talk about the World Series a little bit later on today's show. First off, we're going to talk with high school football with Dick Hoekstra. The playoffs start this week. The regular season in the mid-Michigan area has many teams left in the playoffs. We're well represented. Got Grand Ledge in the opening round tomorrow night, and East Lansing and Everett play each other tomorrow night, and we have St. John's going up against Sault Ste. Marie. So we've got a lot of teams going into the playoffs. So let's bring in our guest, Dick Hoekstra, the prep editor of the Lansing State Journal. And how you doing, Dick?
Hi.
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Okay. Hey, you know, all these teams that from the mid-Michigan area who are in the playoffs, which ones do you think have the best chance of advancing to the second round?
I think Fowler has a very, looks to me like a pretty easy matchup against Baldwin. Baldwin is a team that actually lost to a couple of MSAC South teams that are kind of in the middle of their standings, Coleman and Vestaburg. And, based on the fact that, Carson City went into that league for the first time this year and took second place, that looks to me, and the MSAC South basically beat up on the MSAC North in the preseason before they started their league schedule. So it looks to me like the MSAC North is really weak, and that's Baldwin's the champion up there. So I think Fowler's probably got the easiest game with the best chance to move on of anybody I'm seeing. Because I think even though Grand Ledge beat Holland West Ottawa 31-10 back on August 30, that was, that's almost 2 months ago. And,
yeah.
And Holland West Ottawa since then, they only lost to Rockford by 10, and, Rockford beat Holt pretty bad. And so they beat East Kentwood, which is a team that Grand Ledge actually lost to in their opener. So I don't know. That might be at their place. That might be actually a fairly tough game, even though the first score was 31-10.
Yes. What chance would you give Lansing Everett of beating East Lansing again? I mean, we saw them about a month ago. Everett beat East Lansing 6-0, but I assume East Lansing will have that motivation that they lost that first game going for them in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was. It's kind of interesting because I think at that point East Lansing still had a shot at the league title if they could win that game. But then once they lost that, then they seemed to kind of, they got beat pretty badly by Grand Ledge, 40-0. So I'm not sure if that was just a lack of motivation because the league title was no longer in the mix, and now they have motivation and back. That's tough. They do have a good team. I mean, I really like their quarterback. And of course, Javon Haynes, the wide receiver, is outstanding. But I don't think they've got as they don't have as much speed as Everett does. Everett's got a wide array, and their defense is just outstanding, as you know. And so and they seem to be very mature too. I mean, they really and they play with a lot of togetherness. They really worked hard together to get this. They really want this. I'd be surprised if East Lansing upsets them. But I do think it'll be a good game.
What about St. John's? I mean, Sault Ste. Marie's got to come a long way to play them here coming up from the Upper Peninsula. So how does Sault Ste. Marie do? Do they have much of a chance against St. John's? I mean, sometimes I look at that in high school, you're riding a long way by bus.
that's over four hours. And St. John's is a regular in the playoffs. And they, you know, and they called up some kids from the JVs that might help them out a little bit too. So yeah, I would be surprised if St. John's loses this game. But then they'd have to face Owosso or Cadillac next up after that, and that could be dicey because St. John's actually, even though they beat Owosso by a point, Owosso had better stats than they did, and they might have been a little lucky to win. So that will be an interesting second round matchup if it comes if Owosso can get past Cadillac, which that won't be easy either.
And the fact that Waverly made it into the playoffs they haven't been there in such a long time, that's very gratifying for them. Do you think it'll be a situation where Waverly is just happy to be in the playoffs and not really looking to win and get to the next round? They're just going to enjoy being in the playoffs, you think?
Well, I don't know if that mentality is necessarily going to be the problem. I think the problem is that Linden is really good. I mean, they're the Flint Metro co-champions, and their only loss was 13-10 to Lapeer West on September 21, and they advanced to the regional final with two playoff wins a year ago. So they've been there, done that. And by the way, there was an error in the paper today with that. They actually have been in the playoffs once since '82. 82 was the last time they had more than six wins. They went 8-2 that year, but they actually got in as a 5-4 team in 2004, I think it was. So that was actually an error in the paper there today. Scott's going to write a little about them tomorrow for the paper. But yeah, I'm afraid Waverly's run is probably one and out.
Yeah,
more than likely.
And DeWitt is intriguing this year. I mean, they're 7-2, and they finished pretty strong in their division. We know Lapeer West and teams from that Flint area are usually pretty good. That should be an intriguing matchup, I would say.
Yeah, but I like the fact that DeWitt has their original starting quarterback, you know, back in the mix as well, along with the guy that led them to another CAAC Red title. That's seven straight for them up there, so... Yeah, it's playoff time, and Rob Zimmerman's been there, done that, and I know Lapeer West. It's a, you know, they've been in 21 times in 24 years too, so it's not like they're a stranger, but to the playoffs. But I would think with both quarterbacks going and DeWitt's playoff history and the great coaching and being at home, I think all those combined together will. I think DeWitt will probably get the W tonight.
Well, and what about Charlotte?
Well, they're playing a team that, you know, they haven't been in the playoffs much. They just first time since 2008, but they, you know, they're facing a team that only lost two games. So, and they have to play them on their field. It's a senior laden Charlotte team, that'll be a good matchup. They got a good chance, Of course, their coach, Eddie Ostapo, he's been there too before, too. I mean, in 2004, he led them to the semifinals. So, I mean, it's not like he hasn't been there before, too. So, they got a shot. They got a good shot.
Yeah. Williamston, I haven't seen them since the first of the year. Obviously, they've improved since that first game against Ithaca, for sure. But that should be an intriguing matchup for them against Marshall. I've seen Marshall a couple of times, not this year, but Marshall usually is a pretty good team.
Yeah, in fact, they actually had the year that Marshall made it really far. Recently, they actually beat Williamston in kind of a controversial game, if you remember. So that's been a little while. So I don't know if these players will really know much about that or care much about that. But but playing them at their place, that makes it a lot tougher. So I don't know. And they play high quality opponents down there. So I don't know. That's kind of a toss up one, I think.
Yeah. Now Lansing Catholic, of course, they had another good. It's like they just roll out every year. Seem to stay better and get better and better every year.
Yeah. Jim Ahern, their coach, just really knows what he's doing. I mean, he churned out great winners every year at Ithaca, and they kind of kept it going up there since he left using his system, and now he's come into Lansing Catholic and done a great job. And you know, with all the people they lost last year, I think what they're doing is really opening some eyes. But Olivet's a tough opponent. They play a tough league, the KBA. I mean, Constantine's in there. That they made it to the final last year, and you know that's a tough league. And Dean Peters is a veteran coach that's really good. So yeah, that's the game I'm actually going to. I'm going to be real interested to see how it comes out.
Okay. When we look at the last teams in the Division 7, and you know, I got to believe that Ithaca is going to be good again or strong again. You know, they just seem, we've seen them a couple of times this year, and they just seem to get better and better. That's a team that just doesn't make many mistakes.
Yeah, the quarterback, from what I hear, is and you've seen him for yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like he's a Division I kind of guy, and just kind of keeps improving. They're on a roll. I'm not sure the streak is going to end this fall.
Yeah, I mean, that would be something. Three state championships in a row, another unbeaten season. That would really be great for Ithaca. They're 37 wins right now. They're on a roll, that's for sure. When you look at Pewaumo West Fayette, they've been pretty decent this year. And of course, Dansville is pretty good. Division 7 is pretty tough.
Pewaumo West Fayette, their only losses are to teams that joined them at Ford Field last year. So they're tested, even though they've lost three. I mean, those are, and it's really actually that loss to Mendon, I think, is the most impressive of them all. Mm-hmm. I mean, only losing by 3 points to that team that rolled over Fowler last year and in the season opener this year. I mean, they seem like they may be primed for a nice run. And Dansville, that's great for them to get in for the first time since 2003. They got nice quarterback Garrett Sewell and a nice wide receiver in Jake Bryce, and they're a good team. Whiteford has only lost one game, so that might be a tough first round matchup for them. But the CMAC is tough, and we see that every year. I mean, Fowler and PW made it to Ford Field last year, so who's to say? I mean, just because Dansville has their only two losses were to those two teams, Fowler and PW, so maybe they can make a deep run. We'll see.
Yep. Hey, I'm heading tomorrow night. I'm going out to that Lansing Catholic game, so I'll probably be over there. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Yep. I'll see you there. Carson City Crystal is the other one in Division 7, and it's funny because they're matched up against a team that's just as playoff inexperienced as they are. I mean, Everett's only been to the playoffs one time. They lost 35-0 to Montague in 2007. So. And Carson City Crystal hasn't been there since 1999, so they probably got a chance to win that, pretty good chance to win that first game, I would think. And then we'll see what happens from there.
What do you make of? Of course, we've got Fowler in Division 8, but the 8 player playoff with Portland. Have you seen much 8 player football this year?
I haven't. Scott covered. Scott Ushanis covered them, and. And he feels like they've got a great chance to go all the way. I mean, they're the one of two unbeaten. The other one is that Cedarville team up in the Upper Peninsula. And of course, if they wind up playing them, it'll be in Marquette. If it happens to be two lower peninsula schools, then they'll play the championship game at Greenville. But yeah, they got a win tonight, win tomorrow, Saturday night. Excuse me, they're going to play Saturday night because Portland's field is occupied with the Leslie Portland game on Friday night. So they're going to play on Saturday night against Marine City Cardinal Mooney. And if they can win that game, then they'll play either Battle Creek, St. Philip, or Waldron for a third time because they played them both home and home during the regular season. And then after that, Deckerville looks like the best team in the other regional there. They're 8-1. And so if they can get win three games, they're in the championship game, maybe against Cedarville. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, I think playing the CMAC schools all those years has really helped them.
Oh, it has. That's for sure. It's helped them a lot. Hey, Dick, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you. And we just went through all the playoffs here in the Mid-Michigan area. A lot of good teams. So hopefully most of them will advance to the second round. I know it gets a little bit tougher after that. But I think this first round, many of the area teams will probably advance to round two.
I'd agree.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Dick, and I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Sounds good.
Okay, bye-bye. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Child brides, Sudan, and now the Middle East peace process, intractable problems that might just respond to a group of some of the most respected leaders from recent history. I'm Neil Conan. The elders, former Presidents Jimmy Carter and Mary Robinson, join us. Plus Sylvia Pagioli on the prison sentences for Italian scientists who failed to warn of an earthquake. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. Our high today in the mid-70s, sunny and windy. We're likely to get some rain starting tonight with a low of 48, mostly cloudy and breezy. A chance of some light morning rain Friday, the high only 52, partly sunny and 49 Saturday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, now we're going to talk about the World Series disappointing loss last night to the San Francisco Giants, the Detroit Tigers. A lot of people were had their hopes very high, especially on winning the first game with Justin Verlander out on the mound. And they took it to Verlander pretty good. He gave up five runs over four innings and just never seemed the rhythm. I was a little bit concerned because I thought the rust from waiting so long for the World Series could have an impact on them. And I think it certainly did. Just had to wait around for the playoffs to get started. But those are the cards you dealt sometimes. So I know it goes both for whichever team would have got there. They would have had to wait. And unfortunately for the Tigers, they didn't handle it well. But that was an interesting game with the Giants winning, and now we're going to see, can the Giants build on the momentum from that first game? That was it. Can they build on the momentum? Can they get further down the road? So that's the question mark. Can they get further down the road after losing to San Francisco? And what can the Tigers do to bounce back and win game two? Be interesting to see tonight. I know most people, of course, in Michigan, you have to understand most people were going to pick the Tigers to win, of course. And now, who will they pick? Will they still stick with the Tigers, or will some start to jump ship after the first game? It'll be interesting to see, that's for sure. But we'll try get a hold of Fred Heumann, and hopefully he'll know what's he going to do. Is he going to stick with the Tigers, or are you going to jump up to them? So let's bring in Fred Heumann and talk with him about the World Series. Fred, how you doing, buddy?
Earl, what's up, brother? Happy baseball season.
Yeah, we got the best game of the year is here. The World Series is here, but you know, it was a little bit downer last night. San Francisco just was able to get to Verlander, and that was a little bit surprising that they got to him pretty easily in those four innings.
Well, Earl, this is why we play the game. Mm-hmm. You know, we all think we can predict them all.
Yep.
We all think we know what can happen. I got caught in it, too. They're not going to beat Verlander. But, you know, let's not forget that this is, you know, about 6 weeks ago, Verlander was, 17-11. Mm-hmm. He was very beatable. He got so hot. He went for a month-long stretch, maybe 5 weeks, where he looked absolutely unhittable. He looked unhittable in the postseason. And whether it's the extra time off or whatever, he just had one of those games where he wasn't as sharp. You know, it's not so much that he can throw the ball 100 miles an hour. Those major league hitters can hit that 100-mile-an-hour pitch, Earl.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The thing about Verlander that makes him so good, it's like the ball's on a string. He can command his pitches. And he threw those nice pitches last night, but he didn't have complete command of his pitches. And when you don't have command, then the hitter owns you, and they owned him last night.
Yes, that's the thing about baseball. You know, as a pitcher, you definitely have to have command of the pitches and put them where you want to. Or, as you say, that case, the hitters will just take it deep, take it any way you want if you don't have control over it. And that's something that I know a lot of fans, they don't realize that you can't always throw a ball where you want to throw it. Sometimes it'll leave your hand and you have no idea where it's going.
Yeah, they make it look easy, don't they?
But, yes, they do.
But when they don't know where it's going, and it's just that Verlander just wasn't sharp last night. Like I said, he usually has that ball on a string, but he was getting pitches up, he was getting pitches over the plate, and they hit him, and these are major league hitters, and when you do that, you're going to get beat.
Yeah, one of the fans called in and says he still believes that Detroit will win it in five games.
Well, I don't know about five. I don't think last night's loss ruins them for the series. I still got a feeling they can come back and win this. I'll probably say the same thing even if they lose tonight, because they get three at home, and if they take all three of those, which I think they can, they're a very good home team, I think they can win one or two at San Francisco. Really doesn't matter how many games you win it in. It's whether you win it or not. Right now, San Francisco's up one, but yes, in a seven-game series, obviously when you lose the first one, game two on the road is of prominent importance.
Yes, and San Francisco, one thing you have to give their hitters, they hang in there. They ran the three-ball, two-strike count from Verlander deep into the count, and they have a tendency to do that. Those guys are really scrappy, aren't they?
Yeah, they're kind of impressed me during the playoffs. When they went into the playoffs, they weren't a team I knew a whole lot about. We don't see them as much on the West Coast, and I Cincinnati had them down 2-0. I figured they'd be out then, and then St. Louis had them down 3-1, and now they go into the World Series after they beat St. Louis, and everyone thinks they're going to get waxed by the Tigers in 4 or 5. But they do. I've come to like this team and appreciate what they do. That Pagan's a good center fielder. Marco Scudero at second base has been a terrific addition. They just have scrappers. And, of course, the big fella, Sandoval, just had an unbelievable night last night. I didn't realize he only hit like 12 home runs all year.
Yeah, that was something.
Three last night. So, they're a scrappy team. They fight. And they got what you call this little magic going, so they're not going to be easy to beat.
Yes, that's for sure. Like you said, with that magic that they have going, that makes that team an intriguing team, which, like I said, they're just going to be tough to beat. I think a lot of the fans thought that they'd just walk through San Francisco on the way to winning a world title. It certainly doesn't look that way, especially after that first game. Yeah,
it's like I said off the top, that's why we play the games. If we knew what was going to happen, there'd be no intrigue, there'd be no interest. Why would we even watch? So, I think a lot of people did get fooled into this. Tigers are invincible because of the way they swept the Yankees, and given that, you could almost see this coming. Baseball is a game of streaks and momentum, and when you're good, and the Tigers were very good against the Yankees, and last night they reverted to that form we saw so much in April and May and June.
Yes, as we talked about all year long, they were so inconsistent, and the inconsistencies came up. I know the network announcers talked about some of those Tigers' inconsistencies during the year. It's funny how we as fans, or many fans, they'll ignore those things that they've seen all year long, especially you make it to the playoffs, you get a certain level, you just sort of ignore all those things that you've seen already.
Right. Yeah, how many times this year, I'm sure, did you take, callers, phone calls from people that were listening that saying, what's wrong with these Tigers?
Yep.
They can't hit the ball. They don't hit the clutch. They don't pitch in the clutch. And it's the team we saw last night. It does happen.
Yeah, it does. Well, now I want you to put on your cap. What do you think is going to happen the rest of the series here? But I know that crystal ball you got there.
I think the Tigers win tonight. Mm-hmm. I think they win 2 out of 3 at home. That puts them up 3-2, and I think they win game 6 in San Francisco. I'll stick by that. Tigers in 6. Okay. It should go 7, but I'll stick by Tigers in 6.
Okay. That sounds good, Fred. And
What did you pick?
I had them, I just had them not winning the World Series.
Well, you had the Giants, huh?
Yeah.
You picked the Giants in this series, huh?
Yeah, I did that. But I did that before even the Giants. That was way back in. I just didn't think the Tigers were going to even make it to the series because I did that during.
I'm saying when they got into the World Series.
When they got in the World Series, then I think I switched. I jumped on the bandwagon with all the other Tiger fans.
Yeah, we all kind of did that. See, it's not over yet because of one game, and people couldn't jump off the bridge just yet either.
Yeah, that's true. Well, what about you? What do you think is going to happen with the Spartans on Saturday? I know you're not going to watch a lot of that, but you'll probably watch a little of that game.
Oh, yeah, I'm actually staying home from the World Series Saturday. I'm going to go Sunday and Monday because there's a lot of good football on Saturday. I know you're surprised to hear me say that.
Yeah.
The older I get, the more in love I am with my HDTV. So I can go home and I can watch Michigan State. Mm-hmm. I can have popcorn. I can have a nice dinner. I can watch Michigan-Nebraska. I can watch Notre Dame. Play Oklahoma. I can watch the Tigers. I won't miss many pitches, but I'll switch off for a little football between innings. So it's a good TV day, too. So I'm going to stay home Saturday. Michigan State, that's going to be a tough game to win, Earl.
It is. It is.
You know, they don't have much of an offense. They don't give up a lot of touchdowns. They got a good D. But, you know, early in the year, I thought it would just be a matter of time. They'd get this offense rolling. Mm-hmm. Maxwell and the receivers would get a little more in concert. And I think they are getting there. But I don't think this is an offense that's going to put up a lot of points all year. And I think all four of these games, at least three of the four, are going to be very tough ones to win for Michigan State. And I think the toughest of those four is going to be this Saturday in Madison. So we could be looking at an under 500 Spartan team when they get back from there.
Oh, that's for sure. And, you know, I'm still surprised that Michigan State has lost three home games. Before the season, I would never say, you know, there's no way Michigan State will lose three home games, and they've got two left. So I'm definitely surprised of that happening.
Well, they spoiled us. I didn't think that would happen either. But all summer when, you know, everyone was asking me, will it be a Rose Bowl or a national championship or will they win 11 or 12 games this year? I said, slow down, horsey. Kirk Cousins is gone.
Yep.
Rel Worthy is gone. E.J. Cunningham is gone. Keyshawn Martin is gone. I mean, those guys are in the NFL now. Mm-hmm. And you had Keith Nickel, and, you know, there's some – you had Trenton Robinson. They had a really strong senior class last year.
They did.
And I really don't – I'm not throwing this team a crutch, but I don't think last year's team's getting enough credit. I thought all along, you lose those guys, there's going to be a drop-off. Now, how dramatic will the drop-off be? Didn't know. How long will the drop-off last? Don't know. Maybe it's a two-year fix, but maybe I'm a little surprised at 4-4. Maybe they're one game worse than I thought. But I didn't think they'd lose three home games, but I figured they'd only win about eight games this year. And I think at this point it's going to be a struggle to get to eight. They'd have to win out now to get there, wouldn't they?
Oh, for sure. That's the thing with this team. I mean, we both think that they were going to get proven and be And I'm like you as well. I thought they would be further along at this point of the season. You know, they wouldn't be 4-4. The offense would be further along. I figured it would be a growing process on the offense that they get better. But they've gotten better, but it's taken a lot longer than what I anticipated. And then, of course, that offensive line was supposed to be the strongest part of that offense, and it's been one of the weakest parts. Partly due because of all the injuries that they've had this year. So it's made it a very tough on them.
Yeah, that has been the one legitimate brush you can throw them because the offensive line was younger and they lost Joel Foreman anyway going in. And now what? This is their third injury they've had on the offensive line. And that's tough to overcome. If the coaches say it, if the players say it, it sounds like an excuse. Fans don't want to hear it. It's not necessarily an excuse, but it's a legitimate reason that contributes to the struggles they've had. Their offensive line is inexperienced, and now it's beaten up. And that contributes to the offensive troubles. Don't kid yourself.
And you know, Fred, we heard all the things, all the people, all the criticism, a lot of criticism directed toward Dan Roshar. And I just want to remind the folks, he's the same offensive coordinator that got them 11 wins last year. But it seems like they've forgotten that already. He's still calling basically a lot of the same plays. I don't know how much better you're going to call plays or if you're going to call them differently, which worked last year. But with the veteran team, they worked very well last year.
Yeah, people need to get a life. People that don't have anything better to do than to sit around and message board and tweet, tell people who should lose their jobs and who shouldn't. I mean, this guy's play calling last year was fine. If anything, they were calling D'Antonio a riverboat gambler for some of the plays he was calling last year. I don't think that, you know, you call a game based on your personnel. Now, if he were calling all these downfield passes and Maxwell would be getting intercepted, they'd be frying him for saying, why are you doing this with a young quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
People are result-oriented. This is what Izzo warns all the coaches at Michigan State. He did this to Jake Boss when he won a Big Ten championship in baseball. Izzo did this to Susie Merchant when she won in basketball. I'm sure he did it to Mark D'Antonio. Congratulations on your success. Now get ready for the expectations because they rise. Nobody knows that better than Izzo. Even four Final Fours isn't enough for some people. You know, when you get them to the top of the ladder, people just expect automatically you're supposed to stay there. I know they make a lot of money. That's okay. I'm not feeling sorry for any of these people. They make good cash to take the heat, but people are just unrealistic, Earl.
Oh, they are. I agree with you on that, Fred. I mean, that we've seen so many unrealistic expectations. I mean, it's like we know the team has to take time to grow to get better, and they can't solve all the problems in a month or two in the off season. That's the way it works. And, you know, people just have to be patient. The team will get to where they want them to get, but it's going to take time. But I know people don't want to hear that fact, that it's going to take time to get where you want them to go, but it really does. Year in and year out, it always seems to take a little bit longer than what you anticipate.
Well, being critical of them and having expectations is okay. I can live with that. That's one thing. I think it gets a little silly. But calling for people to be fired is downright vicious. I just think that's way out of place. And, you know, if anyone gets upset about it, so be it. But fans that do that need to get a life.
Hey, what's wrong with the Detroit Lions? We haven't talked about them, but that's another team that's really having a downer year at the current time. What's surprising you about the Lions? I thought they'd be a little bit better. I didn't, you know, I figure still, and they still may end up 9-7 right now. That's what I had them going at the beginning of the year. But you know, a lot of people thought they'd be 10-6 or better than they were last year.
What's wrong with the Lions? What surprises me about the Lions? Nothing. I thought there's another team that people had way unrealistic expectations of based on, you know, the magic they caught last year. They had a really good season, made the playoffs. But, when they lost Jarvis Best, and when I look at their offensive line and their deficiencies on defense and the fact that they don't have a legitimate running back, actually, I thought this would be an 8-7-9 season, and I'm not sure they'll even get there. I think they are what they are. They have the best receiver in the game, perhaps, Calvin Johnson. Matthew Stafford has finally won me over. I think he's legit. Defensive line is, I think, overrated, but played a little better in the last couple of weeks. Delmas seems to be a good young player, but you need more players than that, Earl.
You do.
And I just don't think they're there yet.
Yeah, they've got to have a couple more good drafts, and then they'll be pretty much, I would say, then they should be in the hunt, a playoff hunt, a consistent playoff hunt, if they can have a couple of more good drafts. But I guess that's what we'll have to see. And, hey, Fred, I want you to have yourself a good weekend. Watch a lot of baseball and watch a little bit of college football, my friend.
I'll watch it all, Earl. Thanks.
Okay. Hey, we'll talk to you later, Fred.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that's Fred Heumann from WLNS-TV, Channel 6, sports director there. And, you know, you'll hear Fred. You can see Fred tonight and tomorrow on WLNS-TV, Channel 6. Give us a call at 39 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It's already one of the most high-profile cases of drug contamination in memory. Nearly 24 dead from meningitis or strokes, and nobody knows how many more will get sick. What went wrong? Officials say a compounding pharmacy ignored the rules. I'm Neil Conan. Who makes our drugs, and how safe are they? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Today will be sunny and windy with a high of 77 degrees, our last warm day for a while. Rain likely to move in tonight, a low of 48. Tomorrow, windy and mostly cloudy, possibly some light early morning rain. Friday's high only 52. And partly sunny Saturday, the high in the upper 40s. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk at Sports.org. And now we got to bring in Alex, our resident prognosticator, and he's done a pretty good job on prognosticating and on making predictions. And I just got to ask him what he thinks of the game coming up between Michigan State and Wisconsin. I believe, Alex, you're going to Wisconsin, so you can give us your opinion. What do you think on that Michigan State-Wisconsin game?
The game is going to be very close, of course. It's almost to the point now, Earl, that there's almost a rivalry coming up between Michigan State and Wisconsin.
That's
with
true.
Everything that's happened last year, with everything that's happened in the past at Camp Randall. We've seen so many games, you know, late down in Camp Randall where, you know, the offense just couldn't figure it out. But overall, Earl, I mean, I called Notre Dame beating Michigan State. That was a pretty bold call. I called Iowa, too. And when it comes to Wisconsin, I mean, this is a totally different game because not only is the offense not clicking right now, but let's look at this Wisconsin team because they've had their fair share of struggles too, as you know, Earl. And and my overall prediction for the game, I don't think Michigan State's going to be able to pull it out, but I do think that Michigan State will win their last two games. So that's my prediction, Earl.
Okay, so that's a good one. We'll have to watch that one, Alex, see if you continue. I know you weren't right last week. Other than that, you've been doing a pretty good job predicting, and I know Jack's going to be looking at your predictions, and maybe he copies you. Maybe that's why he's having such a good year.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, between you, me, Drew, and Jack there, I should be the one first. Come on now.
That's right. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Todd on the line. Todd, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Earl. I wanted to comment on Mr. Heumann, and I certainly enjoy you know, his expertise. He's been around. He's certainly knowledgeable. And I want to agree and disagree on a point. I'm going to acknowledge that I certainly don't know enough about football, breaking down film and calling plays to call for, you know, an offensive or a defensive coordinator or a position coach. I mean, I think as fans, we all seem to have a much overinflated sense of our own knowledge of sports and our own abilities, and that's the emotion of it. But where I'm going to disagree with Mr. Heumann, and you know, I tried to catch on before he got off, is I think he's kind of leaving out one thing, and this is college football, but they charge us professional prices. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I have never personally called for a coach to be fired or an offensive coordinator, so I can agree with that. But the term, you know, those are sad people and they need to get a life. Well, you know very well, Earl, how much money some people spend or donate on the athletic, not just the athletic programs, but to this university. And if you're going to take people's money, you're going to take their complaints, right?
Yeah, you have no choice. Yeah, you got to take their complaints.
I'm not coming directly at Mr. Heumann or anybody at Michigan State, but don't if you don't charge $1,000 for good, you know, football tickets, or $2,000 for good basketball tickets, the criticism will go away. Give the tickets away. But they're not going to do that, are they, Earl?
No, because the criticism wouldn't go away either.
Oh, believe me, it would go down immensely, Earl. There is no doubt that the more someone pays, the more they feel they're entitled to either complain, get involved in it, which I'm not advocating. I'm not saying that, but You can't separate the two. You can't be an advocate of, you know, fans' expectations are too high. Okay, that might be true too. But I might say, hey, the prices I pay to attend your games are too high. And they don't want to hear that, do they?
Oh no, they don't want to hear it, but that like I said, that goes along with the territory as well, and they will hear it, but I believe whether whether you paid or if you got it for free, still, if they lost, people would be mad and they'd complain anyway. I don't think you can satisfy. I just think people will definitely complain, you know, and they'll just have to put up with the complaining. And, you know, we hear it and see it every year. There's always someone mad. And some people, you can't make everybody happy or some people happy. The only way you're happy if you win every game, and Michigan State's never won every game. So, you know, there's always going to be mad people. Let's go to the phones, and let's see. We've got Nolan from Tampa. Nolan, how you doing?
Oh, how you doing, man?
Okay.
It's been a while since I was talking to you.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, you ain't been around.
No, yeah, well, I just wanted to say I'm feeling good, man. It's a long hiatus, man, that the Paul Bunyan Trophy is safe. where it's supposed to be, man. We have missed it so bad. You know, people up and stole it from us. And you know, it's just so good to see the Paul Dutton Trophy back in Ann Arbor. And on a serious note, it's very sad to hear about Emmanuel Stewart, man.
Yes.
That's a tough one. Man.
It is.
Brother, it's so young, man. That's a tough one. But that's all I have to say today, man. And you know,
You weren't at that Michigan State game?
Yeah. In fact, I was up in Detroit, and I wanted to get over there, but I got so tied up that I just couldn't make it over there. Man. I got tied up with family matters. I just couldn't make it over there. But, you know, I haven't been to any of the Michigan games this year, even though I have been up there quite frequently up in Detroit. But I'm going to get the one towards the end of the year. I'll get there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And the weather down here is just as warm as it is in Michigan. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's nice. You're giving us a little break on the weather here for a change.
And also, it was so beautiful to be up and just see the fall. Mm-hmm. Be up there and see the fall. That's one thing you really miss while you're down here. So I wanted to throw that one in there, too.
Okay.
All right. Hey.
See you later, Norm. And that's Norm down in Florida. He usually gives us the weather forecast and he didn't have to do that this year because it's been pretty good in Michigan as well. So we both had some good weather here. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And, Alex, that's the thing. We come to each and every day, Monday through Friday, and giving folks, letting them know in some games and such. We have a lot of college football games coming up. Right. We have a lot of high school games coming up with the playoffs starting this weekend and the World Series. So, this is it's one of those time of year where everything is going on right now, and especially with the Tigers being in the playoffs in the World Series, they haven't been there for a few years, but which is good for them. And now we just have another thing we have to follow and keep track of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Lions, Tigers, Chicago Bears. Oh my, that's really the theme that goes along right now, Earl. But you know what? That World Series game the other night, tough loss. Who would have thought that? He would hit three home runs, in his first three at-bats. You really don't expect to win when someone performs like he did. What I would say, Earl, is after that game, I think Miguel Cabrera solidified himself for MVP, and this is why. I see that Miguel Cabrera, obviously the guy can hit. He's Triple Crown winner. But there's a lot of criticism with him because he may not be as good of a base runner as Mike Trout. But I'll tell you, Miguel Cabrera fielding last night was tremendous. I don't know if you caught the diving play down on the third baseline, Earl, but to see Miguel Cabrera switch positions and still being able, to dive and field ground balls like that is amazing to me.
Well, that was the first position he played when he came up to the majors. He was
originally
a third baseman, so he wanted to go back to it, in all honesty. So he's back doing that position and playing there. Now, I don't know if that'll help him during the MVP balloting. We'll hear the whoever won it in the next week or two, because everything is based on the regular season, so they don't use any of the playoff stats or what the guys do in the playoffs in the MVP valley. They just all leap goes around to after 162 game season.
Yep.
So we'll see it there. But I still believe he should be the MVP of the league. That's for sure.
Yeah, and even if he is the MVP, what does that say about the Detroit Tigers? Is this a dynasty here? Is this more for seasons to come?
Well, it's hard to say if it's more free season to come. I know people want to believe that. They've got two of the best hitters in baseball, and which will carry them for a long time. But they need a better supporting cast. We can't get around that. We need certainly a better supporting cast. If we get a better supporting cast, then the Tigers can have be strong. But they've got to get a better, better supporting cast.
Yeah, and even with the better supporting cast, you know, this is the new Yankees of the Midwest. They have the cap. They're spending over $200 million now. Earl, what is your first plan of action if you're Dave Dombrowski after this year?
Well, he's got to get a better second baseman. And, you know, and you got to strengthen the rest of the team, especially second and short, left and out, right field. You just got to strengthen the team. You got to get some better players and hopefully some better hitters because you need more than the two or three they have right now. So if they can strengthen the rest of that team, then you might can say they'd be good for a 4 or 5 year run. But they're going to need a lot of players, that's for sure. Well, let's go to the phones. We got Dennis on the line. Dennis, how you doing?
Earl, I'm good. How you doing?
Okay. Hey, I don't know if you heard yet, but Glenn Johnson's coming out of retirement.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Who's he fighting?
He's fighting the British champion. British middleweight championship is going to be on in December. He just thought, he said, after he made that announcement after the last fight, he said, after he thought about it, he's starting to feel better. He's been back in the gym training, and he says, he said he knows he was beating badly, but he thinks he's still got enough to fate some of these guys, so he's going to give it one more try. So we'll get a chance to see him on December 17th.
So he retired for about a half hour, right?
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, well, you know what, man? To each his own, and I've always admired Glenn. He's a tough, tough fighter, a lot of heart, and very skilled, underrated skill, but in his last fight, Earl, I don't know that the man should be looking to take that kind of punishment again.
I was surprised when he came back as well.
I hope it works out for him, but I'm not real enthusiastic about his decision. Hopefully it's not for the money. Hopefully it's for the love of the sport, but it's risky because he's starting to – his fighting style is predicated on – you know, avoiding punches by moving your head and your shoulders. Yeah. He's not fast on his feet. He's just clever. And his last couple fights, he's taken a lot of punches, Earl. And, you know, you could be tough and tough yourself right into early onset Alzheimer's or some type of neurological disorder. So, I don't want to beat the dead horse. I did want to say to you that I'm sure you're aware that Emmanuel Stewart passed away. Yeah. And I think one day, if you get a minute, we should talk about the impact that the Kronk Gym had on boxing in not only in Detroit and Michigan, on the sport of boxing, and how Emmanuel Stewart, along with that class of 1976, Sugar Ray Leonard, all those guys, really helped rejuvenate boxing at the lower levels to a height we've probably never seen before, or at least since the 50s. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes. He was had such a big impact on the sport and on basically spreading it, especially spreading the lower weight class. I mean, now, you know, he's doing with the Klitschko's, but at his time, he got us really involved in the middleweights on down.
Yeah, I mean, the golden era of the middleweight division was the 50s. Mm-hmm. And then from the 60s on, it was all about the heavyweights. But with Sugar Ray Leonard and the other classmates of his from that 76 boxing team, and then the Kronk Gym, and then you had the great Latino fighters, Pepino Cuevas and Hands of Stone, and all those guys, the smaller, the welterweight, the lightweight, the middleweight classes really became glamorous. And to this day, there's still very good fighters out there. So we've got to thank Emmanuel Stewart for a lot of that. And he's going to be missed, Earl. I really regret that he died so young. And I enjoyed him as a boxing commentator.
Yeah, he was very good.
We lost him and Burt Sugar. And getting old ain't no joke.
No, it's not.
Last thing, Earl. It's 77. I'm in the middle of Ohio somewhere out in farmland.
Okay.
And it's 77 degrees out here.
Yeah.
Kind of a rare day, and it's rare for two reasons. Because I almost completely agree with Todd. it's got to be a rare day. I think he's right. When you're expected to do to have the kind of financial support for these universities that they need, and they expect you to have for them. You have a right to speak out unabashed about what you think about the athletic department, from players to coaches on down. Now, it's not my style. I don't call for coaches to be fired. I don't boo players, especially college players. But I can't say something without a line if that's what they choose to do. If they choose to advocate for a head coach or assistant coach to be fired, for the prices that we're expected to pay nowadays, Earl, I think we've got some skin in the game and we've got a right to say it.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. But I think people are going to complain whether they win or lose. I mean, whether they pay a penny or a nickel, I think they'll still complain, just the nature about the game and how much they love the game. I think they're still going to complain whether they're given $100 or if they were able to get in the games for free. You know, I've just seen so many people, they're always complaining. I mean, I know. Yeah.
I know. And most of them are poorly informed. They're decisions. You know, I was at the game Saturday, man, and I was surrounded by a bunch of people calling for Denard to be benched. I'm like, are you out of your mind? I didn't even engage him in the conversation because they're so poorly informed. You got two great defensive teams out there batting heads, and you think you're going to break through by bringing on the guy who's his backup? I mean, come on. So, but anyway, Earl, I just wanted to get that in to you about Emmanuel Stewart. Maybe we could have a time to talk about him. And you did get my prediction, right? I couldn't do it on the air, but I did phone it in. Did you get that?
No, I didn't get that one.
I was 1-for-2. I took I predicted Michigan 12-10.
Okay.
and I had an over under on personal fouls of Michigan State. I took the over at 4, and they were under, so I lost that part.
Okay.
But I did hit the score. All right, Earl.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Dennis. Right. Yep, bye-bye. And that's our good friend Dennis talking a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKR. A lot of you will be going to the high school playoffs tomorrow night, so that's always good. And I want to see a lot of you out there, whether you go to East Lansing and Lansing Everett, or if you go to Lansing Catholic and out there. There are a lot of good games. So you can go see the team that's maybe you live closest to. There are a lot of good games coming up, and hopefully you'll be at and supporting some of your local teams in the playoffs as they begin tomorrow night. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And I know, Alex, you probably won't be going to any of the high school. You said you're going to Wisconsin, right?
Going up to Madison. I'm gonna be in that tailgate atmosphere, Earl, you know.
And, you'll be tailgating. You won't be in the atmosphere. Hey, you'll be tailgating.
Absolutely. Hey, and I'm going to be wearing my Michigan State gear all the way, Earl. Come on.
You got the guts to wear green and all that red?
Hey, it's not an established rivalry yet. If this was Ann Arbor, you know, then I'd get the yelling. I think Wisconsin, they'll kind of shovel me off because they've won the last, you know, 2 years, so.
Yeah, I think Michigan State's the rivalry with Wisconsin is coming along pretty good. These last few years, the games have been quite entertaining, and I think that's coming into it, developing, that is, I should say, into a pretty good rivalry between those teams.
Absolutely. I mean, and even with rivalries, Earl, you have Michigan, now there's this Wisconsin one. Are there any other teams in the Big Ten that Michigan State that you can see that they have a lot of problems with that could be a rivalry?
Probably Iowa. They've had some really good games against Iowa. I would say that's probably a rivalry. And it's just that those teams, it's like a heavyweight fight between two teams. They both, their styles are so similar. And that they've had some very good games against them, and so that's aside from Iowa, Michigan, and Ohio State, Wisconsin, those probably are the best rivalries for Michigan State in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and even outside of college football, let's take a look at the rivalry with Detroit and St. Louis. You know, they're lucky enough they didn't play them, but now you couldn't take it back a little bit. So who do you like in the World Series, Earl, before we close the show?
Well, probably I would go with San Francisco. I probably would go with San Francisco, but hey, maybe the Tigers can get it. I mean, they've got plenty of chances. I mean, they only lost one game, so they just got to win four games out of the next six. So we'll see. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling today. Come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio.
AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. And tomorrow we'll be talking a little bit more high school football tomorrow. And we'll also talk a little bit more about the World Series tomorrow. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. And we'll hear from you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
From NPR News in Washington.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.